Now, we have been hearing messages lately, as we just have heard in the announcements or the first message today, as well as literature from the editorial this week that have to do with prophecy of what this world will face in the very near future. And we see right now what is happening in Europe and how the rest of the world is being affected. It is quite remarkable to witness prophecy unfolding before our eyes, especially when we do know what is coming based on what is revealed in the Bible. Even more remarkable is the fact that God has revealed this to us by opening our minds to this understanding, what we read in the Bible, understanding what this all means, by calling us to the truth. And through our response, has given us the wisdom to recognize what is happening right now and what we expect to happen in the very near future, to prepare ourselves spiritually on what is coming. And that right there is the key, preparing ourselves spiritually. We have heard much about the coming tribulation and the upcoming world war that all will witness right before Christ returns to put an end to this worldwide destruction. Because as we know, if he doesn't return, the complete devastation of earth would be the result and nothing would survive. History has already shown us how many people have perished through various reasons. And the Bible also reveals this, especially in Genesis, at the time of Noah, when God commanded him to build an ark because God would destroy the whole world in a flood. But let's notice Genesis chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8. Genesis 6 and verse 6. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as we continue on, we see that Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. He was a friend of God. He did what God commanded. And we're talking about one individual in the whole world. Now, the Bible doesn't say how many people were alive at the time of Noah. But based on the lifespan, which was roughly around 900 years that people were living, like on average, let's say, and larger families consisting of many children, as we read about how, you know, so-and-so begot children, they begot children, all this. And I was doing research on the internet to see what several would be saying or how they would make these calculations of how many people were alive at that time. Based on low to high calculations, the lowest estimate was close to a billion people that was living on the world at that time. And higher estimates were over 10 billion, if not higher. Now, one of them, based on calculation of whatever they were putting together, estimated about 10 trillion people. Now, I don't know, that's a little far-fetched, 10 trillion people. But even if it was just a billion people, think about that. One person out of that billion people, going with the lowest estimate. In any rate, there was still a large number of people on this world. And only Noah was righteous in God's eyes. Not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent in the whole world. And if it wasn't for Noah, mankind would have ceased to exist. The current population right now is over 7 billion people on this world. And we, the called out ones, as we have heard before, are a very, very small fraction that has been called out of this world. Now, we could be that one person. And I always thought about this every time I went to a game, let's say, with a stadium full of people, 100,000 people, let's say. And you could be that one person in that whole stadium that has been chosen to know God's way of life now before all the rest do. Think about that. Think about that responsibility. Think about how special that is. What a gift. Now, do we take that for granted? Especially in light of what has been happening right now in the world and what is currently happening and what's going to happen in the future. Are we taking it serious that what we are presently witnessing could very well be the beginning of the end? And we also know how quickly things can develop. Look how quickly this war that's taking place in Russia and Ukraine, look how quickly that happens and how the world has been affected. We also saw other things in the past, which I'll go into, of how quickly the world has changed because of that. Are we prepared, personally, spiritually, able to decipher between truth and deception? Now, as we have already heard earlier, there are people out there who claim they have been listening to us for years, reading our literature, listening to our messages, ordering booklets, agreeing with much of, or at least they claim, agreeing with much of what we are saying, who are then completely opposed to what we are saying through articles, again, articles that we are posting in our current events that have to do, that go in line with biblical prophecy, especially we've been posting about Putin and the comparisons to what Hitler did in the past. You know, back then, many said the same thing about Hitler. At that time, considering him as a savior, let's say. And then look what happened. What are these people saying now about Hitler? And then we're seeing the same thing now about Putin. The overall question, what good can possibly come out of war? A leader who is responsible for killing is not someone from God, but a tool of Satan. Yes, God allows this to happen, but still is a tool of Satan. And yes, there are examples in the Bible of individuals who were God's people, but there is a big difference between them and the leaders in the world today. A prime example is David. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man of war, and he recognized that. But the big difference here is he asked for forgiveness many, many times. He asked for help from God. He looked to God for help. He knew he was a man of war, but he was still punished for it. Notice 1 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3. First Chronicles 28 and verse 2. King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it." This is something he was planning on doing. He was excited about. Like he said, he had it in his heart to do this. But, verse 3, God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name because you have been a man of war and have shed blood." David was a man of war his whole life, but he also recognized that, he also prayed about that, he sinned on many occasions as we know, and he points this out in the book of Psalms. David had a loyal heart. When he sinned, he repented, asked God for forgiveness. He did not try to hide his sins. He admitted it when he was at fault, and he was truly heartbroken. God saw into his heart how he felt, and he desired earnestly to be forgiven. Notice Psalms chapter 51. Psalm 51 and verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions." He didn't try to justify it. He repented continuously. and my sin is always before me. Verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. In verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He knew how important it is to have the Holy Spirit working with him. He needed God's Spirit to be successful, as we all do. And verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me to your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. See, he recognized that. He knew that was a problem that he was going through. But he wanted a change, and this was recognized, and that's why God said this, that David was a man after his own heart, and David will be in the kingdom. We all sin. Everybody sins. But it's also recognizing that sin and asking for forgiveness, which we have to do this daily anyway. This was a king. This was a leader. Now, do we see any kind of leader with a heart like that today that actually looks to God, that prays to God, the true God that is? As long as there are wars, there will be no peace. And the Bible makes that very clear as well. Now, looking at history, has history taught us anything? Now, I had researched about the top 10 deadliest wars in history. And on the internet, I mean, there were several sites to go on, but pretty much went with the ones that, yeah, that pretty much went in line with what you do read about several places, but the 30 Years' War was that. It was 30 years long. It was a conflict fought in Central Europe between 1618 and 1648 among the European powers of the day. Although the war originally began as a conflict between Protestant and Catholic states from the disintegrating Holy Roman Empire, it quickly spread in the years that followed to encompass much of the European continent. An estimated 8 million people died, and disease played a big role, like the bubonic plague, dysentery, and typhus, all reached epidemic levels during this time period, with many German and Italian communities hit hardest of all. The Chinese Civil War was a conflict fought in China during the mid-20th century between the Communist forces and the Republic of China, occurring in two separate phases due to the onset of World War II. The first phase of Chinese Civil War occurred between 1927 and 1936, with the second phase occurring around 1946 and 1950. Again, 8 million people died as a result. Then we had the Russian Civil War. It was a multi-party war fought between 1917 and 1926, and which involved both the Red Army, which was the Communists, and the White Army, the Nationalist forces. Following the collapse of the Russian Empire and the dissolution of Tsar Nicholas II's power, Bolshevik forces led by Vladimir Lenin engaged Nationalist troops for control of the Russian interior with disastrous consequences, which led to 9 million people dying. The Dungan Revolt, you've heard that or not, refers to a religious conflict fought in Western China between 1862 and 1877. And this war began when the Hui Muslims began rioting in China in response to religious and racial discrimination that was being perpetuated by the Qing dynasty. In response to the riots, the Qing government retaliated with astonishing speed, unleashing devastating reprisals and massacres against the Hui Muslims across Western China. And there that resulted in between 10 and 20 million deaths. Now, the First World War was also known as the Great War, a worldwide conflict that originated in Europe on July 28, 1914, which lasted 4 years. 18 million people had died, but scholars estimate that the epidemics and genocides alone may account for an additional 50 to 100 million lives. The Taiping Rebellion refers to a civil war that took place in China between 1850 and 1864 among the Qing government and the Taiping Heavenly Kingdom. Taiping forces waged a nationalist political and religious war against the Qing dynasty with the goal of converting the Chinese people to Christianity and toppling the Qing government in the process, 20 to 30 million people dying. The Qing conquest of the Ming Dynasty. This was a decades-long war between both dynasties that lasted from 1618 to 1683, where rebel groups waged war against the ruling Ming Dynasty with the hope of achieving reform. This led to 25 million deaths. The Second Sino-Japanese War, conflict between the Republic of China and the Empire of Japan, lasting from July 7, 1937 to September 1945. And this war is widely considered one of the bloodiest conflicts in human history, as Japanese forces raped, pillaged, and killed countless Chinese civilians and military personnel in their quest for victory, with 29 million died. And of these fatalities, it is believed that approximately 20 to 25 million were civilians, with an estimated 4 to 5 million military personnel killed on both the Chinese and Japanese sides. Now, what's alarming with these figures, they illustrate the sheer brutality and murderous intent of the Japanese forces in their occupation. And what's interesting with that, we're going to see that again in the future. The Lushan Rebellion refers to a massive war that occurred in China, December 16, 755 AD, and this lasted nearly 8 years. And the rebellion was a direct result of General An Lushan declaring himself Emperor of Northern China in defiance of the established Tang Dynasty. Destruction of crops and various food sources alone resulted in mass starvation and disease throughout the civilian sectors of China as the war reached its apex, where 36 million people died. World War II was the massive global conflict that lasted from 1939 to 1945, which involved nearly all of the world's countries. Dividing into two separate camps, the Axis versus the Allies, the two military alliances engaged in total war for nearly 6 years. Estimated total of 70 to 85 million people perished in World War II, or about 3% of the 2.3 billion estimated people on Earth in 1940. Deaths directly caused by the war, which include the military and civilian fatalities, estimated around 50 to 56 million, with an additional estimate of 19 to 28 million deaths from war-related disease and famine. You see how all this goes together. It's not just war, but you see diseases in there, you see famine in there. Again, has history taught us anything? Evidently not, because World War III is coming, and the fate of the nation is doomed. America will lose in an upcoming war against Europe. And we say in our Q&A, will the USA and the UK become targets of nuclear war? That the Bible hints very strongly at the idea the USA and UK will be defeated in a nuclear war. However, the USA and the UK will not be attacked by Russia, but by a European power bloc under the leadership of a modern Assyrian ruler, the proverbial beast in the book of Revelation, or the king of the north in the book of Daniel. And we have a lot of booklets, as we have heard, which talk about this, including Germany and prophecy, Europe and prophecy, the fall and rise of Britain and America, the 10 European revivals of the ancient Roman Empire, the book of Zechariah, prophecies for today, and biblical prophecy from now until forever. Plenty of material, plenty of things that we can read to prepare ourselves of what is coming. In these booklets, we are showing that the descendants of the ancient house of Israel can be found today in countries such as the United States of America, the United Kingdom, as well as Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. And we're also quoting many passages which indicate that the European attack will be launched with nuclear weapons. We already hear how many nuclear weapons that Russia has in possession. Not just Russia, Asian countries. The United States has a lot too. A lot of countries do. The Bible indicates how many people will die as a result from this. But before I reveal the answer, I want to talk about what we have just recently experienced and what we are experiencing right now, which has affected the whole world in a different way that has never happened before. So according to history.com or ncbi.gov, on March 11th, 2020, so just a little bit over a couple years ago, the World Health Organization announced that the COVID-19 virus was officially a pandemic. After barreling through 114 countries in 3 months and infecting over 118,000 people. And the spread wasn't anywhere near finished. COVID-19 is caused by SARS-CoV-2, or CoV-2, a novel coronavirus strain that had not been previously found in people. Symptoms include respiratory problems, fever and cough, and can lead to pneumonia and death. In early December of 2019, atypical pneumonia were reported in a cluster of patients in Wuhan, China, and were shown to be caused by a new coronavirus called SARS-CoV-2, whereas the disease was referred to as COVID-19. The animal reservoirs are likely bats, and it was proposed that pangolins or civet cats could be the animal hosts that transmit the virus to humans, but the intermediary host, if any, has not yet been definitely identified. Although, a lot of reports are claiming that it came from that. Not just from the animals, but from the consumption of them. Now, the virus spread beyond Chinese borders to nearly every country in the world, and by December 2020, it had affected more than 75 million people and led to more than 1.6 million deaths worldwide. The real blow, however, was how the world economy was affected. Governmental interventions included travel restrictions, lockdowns, business restrictions and closures, workplace hazard controls, quarantines, testing systems, and tracing contacts of the infected. The pandemic triggered severe social and economic disruption around the world, including the largest global recession since the Great Depression. Widespread supply shortages, including food shortages, were caused by supply chain disruption and panic buying. The resultant near-global lockdown saw an unprecedented pollution decrease, probably the only good thing about it. But educational institutions and public areas were partially or fully closed in many jurisdictions, and many events were canceled or postponed. Misinformation circulated through social media and mass media, and political tensions intensified, and let me also add fear. Fear was definitely spread in social media. The pandemic raised issues of racial and geographic discrimination, health equity, and the balance between public health imperatives and individual rights. We saw from all this how the world has been affected and how it still is, and how it's still going to be in the future to try to bounce back from everything that was lost. Now, what has history shown about disease epidemics? So COVID-19 is considered the 10th, but there were 9 other ones, 9 of the worst pandemics in history. And going through several articles online from mphonline.org or publichealthonline.org, the Antonine Plague in 165 AD was also known as a Plague of Galen. This was an ancient pandemic that affected Asia Minor, Egypt, Greece, and Italy, and is thought to have been either smallpox or measles. Though the true case, the cause was still unknown, but this disease was brought back to Rome by soldiers returning from Mesopotamia around 165 AD. Unknowingly, they had spread a disease which would end up killing over 5 million people and decimated the Roman army, including Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. Now, you're going to see a theme and a pattern between a lot of diseases and what the causes were and what certain people were affected. The plague of Justinian was in 541 and 542, and thought to have killed perhaps half the population of Europe. The plague of Justinian was an outbreak of the bubonic plague that afflicted the Byzantine Empire and Mediterranean port cities, killing up to 25 million people in its year-long reign of terror. Generally regarded as the first recorded incident of the bubonic plague, the plague of Justinian left its mark on the world, killing up to a quarter of the population of the Eastern Mediterranean and devastating the city of Constantinople, where at its height was killing an estimate 5,000 people per day and eventually resulted in the death of 40% of the city's population. The Black Death, which occurred in 1346 to 1353, which was the bubonic plague, and this outbreak of the plague ravaged Europe, Africa, and Asia with an estimated death toll between 75 and 200 million people. Thought to have originated in Asia, the plague most likely jumped continents via the fleas living on the rats that so frequently lived aboard merchant ships. Ports being major urban centers at the time were the perfect breeding ground for the rats and fleas, and thus the insidious bacterium flourished, devastating three continents in its wake. The third cholera pandemic in 1852 to 1860 killed 15 million people. And this was considered the most deadly of the seven. So there were actually seven cholera pandemics. And this major outbreak happened in the 19th century. And like the first and the second pandemics, this one originated in India or China, spreading from the Ganges River Delta before tearing through Asia, Europe, North America, and Africa, and ending the lives of over a million people. It's thought that the third plague pandemic is responsible for introducing the plague into the natural environment after flea-infested rats stowed passage on the ships across the Pacific from China. The flu pandemic in 89 and 1890, originally the Asiatic flu or Russian flu, as it was called, this strain was thought to be an outbreak of the influenza A virus subtype H2N2. Though recent discoveries have instead found the cause to be the influenza A virus subtype. First cases were found and observed in 1889 in three separate distant locations, Central Asia, Canada, and Greenland. The rapid population growth of the 19th century, specifically in urban areas, only helped the flu to spread. And before long, the outbreak had spread across the globe. This was the first true epidemic in the era of bacteriology, and much was learned from it. And this had claimed over the lives of a million people. Now, there was also the sixth cholera pandemic in 1910-1911, death toll of 800,000, but it's pretty similar to how the other ones happened. The Spanish flu pandemic in 1918, with a death toll of 20 to 50 million people. This was a deadly outbreak of influenza which tore across the globe, infecting over a third of the world's population and ending the lives, again, of 20 to 50 million people. Of the 500 million people infected in 1918, the mortality rate was estimated at 10% to 20%, with up to 25 million deaths in the first 25 weeks alone. Its spread was helped by modern advancements in transportation and troop movements during World War I. Spain was neutral in that war, which meant newspapers weren't censored to the extent they were in Allied and Central countries. When the Spanish king became gravely ill with the virus, the country became the focal point for reporting and eventually even lent its name to that particular H1N1 strain. What separated the 1918 flu pandemic from other influenza outbreaks was the victims. Where influenza had always previously only killed juveniles and the elderly or already weakened patients, it had begun striking down hardy and completely healthy young adults while leaving children and those with weaker immune systems still alive. Now, theories about the virus, true country of origin include France, England, China, and the US. But researchers believe the virus originated in birds and either jumped to humans directly or used pigs as an intermediary before jumping to humans. The Asian flu was in 1956 to 1958, which killed 2 million. It was also a subtype H2N2 that originated in China. The flu pandemic in 1968 was sometimes referred to as the Hong Kong flu, caused by the H3N2 strain of the influenza virus, a genetic offshoot of its subtype. First reported case was in Hong Kong in 1968. It took 17 days before outbreaks of the virus were reported in Singapore, Vietnam. Within 3 months, had spread to the Philippines, India, Australia, Europe, and the United States. Still had resulted in the deaths for more than 1 million people, including 500,000 residents of Hong Kong, which was about 15% of its population at that time. And as with the Spanish flu, researchers believe this flu strain originated in birds and made the leap to humans either directly or with pigs, or possibly other animals serving as intermediaries. The HIV/AIDS pandemic, at its peak in 2005 to 2012, claimed around 36 million lives. Now, this virus had been transmitted through contact with blood, semen, or breast milk of an infected person. First identified in the Democratic Republic of the Congo in 1976, it has truly proven itself as a global pandemic, killing more than 36 million people since 1981. Now, LifeScience.com says that HIV, which is a virus that causes AIDS, likely developed from chimpanzee virus that transferred to humans in West Africa in the 1920s. Currently, there are between 31 and 35 million people living with HIV. The vast majority of those are in sub-Saharan Africa, where 5% of the population is affected, roughly 21 million people. Now, as awareness has grown, new treatments have been developed that make HIV far more manageable, and many of those infected go to lead productive lives. Between 2005 and 2012, the annual global deaths from HIV dropped from 2.2 million to 1.6. But it's another story in a developing world where HIV/AIDS is a fourth leading cause of death, accounting for approximately one fatality for every 2,000 or so people. But despite research, extensive research, medical experts have yet to come up with a vaccine. Now, 2003 was a SARS outbreak, which had originated in China, and bats are likely the possible neutral reservoir of SARS-CoV, and palm civets could be intermediate hosts before dissemination to humans. How this all goes together. The causative agent was identified within a few weeks, and during the 2002-2003 outbreak, SARS had infected, or reports were in 29 countries in North America, South America, Europe, and Asia. And overall, over 8,000 probable cases were reported with 813 SARS-related fatalities. No, there wasn't a lot of fatalities, but it's interesting where it had originated again. Some of the SARS-CoV-like viruses found in bats have been shown to be able to infect human cells without prior adaptation, which indicates that SARS could reemerge in the future. 10 years after that came another virus. The MERS-CoV, or MERS-CoV, was reported in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. Potential animal reservoirs are bats, dromedary camels, and have been suggested as intermediary hosts. And between 2012 and 2020, over 2,500 have been confirmed cases with at least 866 deaths reporting in 27 countries, according to the WHO. And all cases have been linked to persons in the Arabian Peninsula or had been returned from traveling in the MERS-CoV endemic areas. Now, the latest one before COVID was the H1N1 swine flu pandemic in 2009-2010. And this was caused by another new strain of H1N1 that originated, they're saying, in Mexico in the spring of 2009 before spreading to the rest of the world. And in 1 year, it had infected 1.4 billion people across the globe and killed anywhere between 150 to 575,000 people, according to the CDC. The 2009 flu pandemic primarily affected children and young adults, and 80% of the deaths were in people younger than 65. That was unusual, considering that most strains of the flu viruses, including those that cause seasonal flu, cause the highest percentage of deaths in people ages 65 and older. And before COVID-19, this was the world's most recent pandemic, infecting as much as 21% of the world's population. Swine flu was a hodgepodge of several different flu strains that had never been collectively seen together. Now, as we could see here, many of these diseases originated from animals. And as had been reported in the past in our updates, it was also through the consumption of eating unclean meats. The Bible makes it very clear that this is an abomination, which leads to punishment through diseases and death. Notice Isaiah 65, verses 2 through 5. And again, we can ask the question, keep repeating that question, has history taught us anything? Isaiah 65 and verse 2. I have stretched out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in the way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Leviticus 11 points out the foods that are permitted and forbidden. I won't turn there, but specifically lists what we are to eat and what we are not to eat, and the punishment if you do eat those things. Now, staying in Isaiah, so chapter 66, God is very clear what will happen to those who eat unclean meats and what will happen as a result. For behold, chapter 66, verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. In verse 17, those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. Why have there been so many diseases and so many disease epidemics and continue to go through them now, as we will see in the future? There you go. So going back to the title of the message, how is it that a third of mankind will be wiped out? Let's notice this prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 7. We'll begin there and read to the end of the chapter. Therefore, says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that all are around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judges, nor even done it according to the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again because of all your abominations. Therefore, and this goes in line with what we have just heard about in the current events, and what had happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. Verse 10, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. Verse 12, one third of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and one third shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another third to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Here we're talking about one third leading to pestilence or diseases will die. One third will die because of war. And one third will end up in slavery. Thus shall my anger, verse 13, be spent or completed, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged. And they shall know that I am. The Lord has spoken it in my zeal, when I have spent or completed my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of all who pass by. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, an astonishment to the nations that are all around you, when I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes, I, the Lord, have spoken. Verse 16, when I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what's coming. God has said it. This is a warning. In our booklet, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America, we make a comparison about the numbers that we're talking about when it comes to one-third of the population of the world. Now, booklet then, we did a reprinted version in 2018, so numbers are still fairly accurate. But we say there about 60 million people live in the British Islands. So how can one-third, as Ezekiel 5:12 said, that is about 20 million people die within a short period of time? We say about 297 million people live in the United States, about 32 million live in Canada, about 19 or close to 20,000 or 20 million live in Australia, and almost 4 million live in New Zealand. And almost 43 million people live in South Africa. According to the biblical prophecy, one third of all those will die within a short period of time. And in addition to famine and disease, Psalm 91:3 refers to modern Israel's eventual deliverance from a noisome pestilence, which the Authorized Version explains it as. But the Strong's Concordance defines the Hebrew word for noisome as rushing, falling, ruin, calamity, and very wickedness. It seems to refer to a disaster from the sky, conceivably from rockets, missiles, and bombs, and would most likely include chemical and biological substances. By this means, around 20 million, one-third of the nation of Ephraim, will die, in addition to the proportionate deaths of those of other tribes of the house of Israel and Judah. Now, the next one-third of the people will be struck with a sword, which are weapons of war. Thus, another 20 million people, a British nation, and also one-third of the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, will die, presumably by hydrogen or atomic bombs or other weapons exploding onto the modern cities of the United States, Great Britain, and other English-speaking nations in the world. So now, we can envision a very extreme scenario with a full two-thirds of the people dead. The final third will be sold as slaves around the world. And Scripture tells us that the Lord will scatter you, the modern houses of Israel and Judah, among all people, from one end of the earth to the other, and you shall find no rest. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. We read about that in Deuteronomy 28, verses 64 through 66. What we must also remember is that when Europe attacks the state of Israel, it will also attack the USA and the United Kingdom at approximately the same time. This means that all will be defeated together. Therefore, the USA and the UK will be in no position to retaliate against Europe, even if they wanted to. That is how quick things will happen. We read in Hosea 5:5 in the Authorized Version, "And the pride of Israel," the reference to Manasseh in the United States, "does testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim," which is a reference to Ephraim, the UK and the British Commonwealth, "fall in their iniquity. And Judah," which is the state of Israel, "shall also fall with them." We must not forget that the United States and the United Kingdom, as well as other English-speaking nations, will be attacked and destroyed at the beginning of the most terrible time, called the Great Tribulation. The book of Revelation is a prophecy for what is going to happen, among other books. But Revelation 6, we see what will happen at that time. And this vision is something that will occur. This is prophecy. See the first seal, which is religious deception. "He opened the seal, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." The second seal talks about war. Verse 4, "Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword." In verse 5 and 6, we see the third seal, the third horseman, which has to do with famine. Verse 6, "I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" It's talking about small amounts of food here being sold for an extraordinary, a large amount of money. And we can see that happening today. A report saying that even in Ukraine, where prices had skyrocketed, but we've also seen that here when there was some, whatever it was, a panic buying, right? And how the price gouging had occurred. When food is scarce and short, they will raise prices. I mean, we even see how gas prices are going up, right? And this will affect the whole world. It will lead to famine, a shortage of food. The fourth seal, see the further pestilence happening around the world. Verse 8, "I looked, behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him, and a power was given to them," which were the fourth horsemen, "over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Next thing I want to do now. No, I'll keep reading. All right, fifth seal, as we read about in verses 9 through 11. "This is the great tribulation of those that are not at the place of safety." Now, this is very important because this is how we need to be vigilant and make sure that we are not caught up in what we are seeing around us. Verse 9, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Now, there is going to be God's people at the time during this who will have a job to do anyway, who will have to go through these difficult times, but I will go into that more in detail. But then we see, of course, the sixth seal, the cosmic disturbances, the heavenly signs of destruction that's going to happen, verses 12 through 17, where the earth is going to be affected physically anyway. Now, in Revelation chapter 8, we see the seventh seal being opened. And this is the prelude to the seven trumpets. But in chapter 8 and verse 7, we see how vegetation in this world is being struck. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, the earth is mostly composed of water, so when you hear a third of the world being burned up, that is a lot. And it's not just a third of mankind, but here we see the trees, the green grass, and we also see what happens further in verse 8. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown to the sea, which this appears to be a meteorite, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. Again, quite possibly a meteorite, or could actually be a man-made bomb. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was bitter. Again, thirst and famine, how they also go in line, how everyone will be affected because of it. And then in verse 12, we see that the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Just when you think it's going to be over, it's not. It keeps going. It's going to be a terrible time that the world has never witnessed ever. And that's why you got to ask yourselves, do I want to go through that? What can we do now? We see in Revelation 9, in verse 15 through 21, the sixth trumpet. Chapter 9, verse 15. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. The second stage, world war here. Now the number of the army of the horsemen. Now remember earlier when I was talking about some of the worst wars in history that occurred from Asia, the Japanese and the Chinese, and how brutal that they were. Well, there's going to be an Asiatic military bloc, an army coming from there. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. Just imagine an army of 200 million people. Obviously, the lessons from the past were not learned. And I heard a number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, those who sat on them and had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, of their sexual immorality or their thefts. Still, they didn't do that. And that is why, with all the warnings and everything that's in the Bible, which is revealed of how you shouldn't be a part of that or get caught up in that, the world will be very blind at that time. We see a glimpse of what is coming shortly. There is a war in Europe, which can escalate very quickly in the forming of a European army, which we have said over time and time again through the years. A more powerful figure will finally emerge into the scene, and how the vast majority will follow this leader. It's easy to say that now. No, what? No, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to fall for that. But look what's even happening right now with Putin. And there are people that claim he's like, oh, what he's doing is righteous, whatever it may be, whatever the reason may be. The same type of people, or who would say the same thing with Hitler back in the day. But a coming world war is upon us, but nothing like this world has ever witnessed. And its final outcome will be a complete destruction of this entire planet if it wouldn't be for the return of Christ to put an end to this. And this is a scripture that we can read over and over again. Matthew 24, verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Alive, that is. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And we heard about that question. We've heard messages about that. Who exactly are the elect? You know, just as Noah was the one righteous person whom God could count on to save mankind, Jesus Christ is the other who will do just that, who God the Father will send to this earth to save this planet, to give us a chance for survival. Or else, what would be the point? What is it that we need to watch for? Since we are here, Matthew 24, let's look at verse 4. Jesus answered, said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Or better, that no one deceives us. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Yes, there's going to be false prophets that will come out and say that, and many people will follow it and believe it. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That what we're seeing right now is just the beginning. It's just starting. And we're going to hear more wars coming. And where were you starting to hear that? What will happen if, right? For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of sorrows. Now, we just read about that early in Revelation. That was talking about the third and fourth seal. And here in verse 9, it's talking about the fifth seal. And this is Christ's words here. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many people don't like what they're hearing now, and they will leave. That's exactly what's happening here and what will still happen. A great falling away, we've heard about that. That will happen too in the church. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now we've seen this happen too when somebody leaves. How cold they get. It's almost easier to deal with people that don't know anything about the truth in the world and rather with people that are in the church, so-called, right? And then when something happens that they do not like and they leave, how cold they become. This is talking about God's people here that once had godly love. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. We haven't endured anything yet right now. It's not the end yet. This is something that we still have to go through every day, as we are doing in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. We still have a work to do. We cannot quit that. We have to do as it says right here in verse 14. Verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Now this could very well is referring to the temple here. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Notice how quick things will happen. This is what he's talking about here. That quickly. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And lest those days were shortened, as I read earlier, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So then, verse 23, if anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, wherever they may be. And that right there is going to be interesting. When they show these signs and wonders, these miracles. So how do you decipher between what is true and what is false? Verse 25, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go there. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And then verse 29, we read about the coming of Jesus Christ. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. This is the seventh seal. And then all the tribes, all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with glory. And he will send his angel the great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then verse 33, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. This is a process of things to happen. And when we see this happening, which means we always have to be watchful, being aware of what is going on, being aware of our surroundings. So how can we be spared during this time? Let's look at Revelation 12 and verse 13. Revelation 12, verse 13. It's talking about the church. The church of God being persecuted. Now, we have gone through our persecutions, but we will continue to be persecuted. As the way is explained here, when the dragon, which is Satan the devil, saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, that is Christ. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for time and times half time from the presence of the surface. This is talking about a place of safety here on earth where God's people will be protected. And we need to ask ourselves, are we God's people? Will we be the ones being protected? So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood, like an army that goes after the church, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. See, not everybody, let's say that isn't God's church, will be in the place of safety. There will be those that are left behind. Those who keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there are people that keep the commandments, let's say. They know the commandments, but how are they actually doing it? Who call themselves Christians. Lukewarm, right? This is what it's talking about here. So how do we make sure that we will be spared from all this? Going back to Luke 21 and verse 20. Luke chapter 21, beginning verse 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance. This is the great tribulation. All things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing with babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Satan will be very busy. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts falling or failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the earth will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with a power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption or your release draws near. And then verse 34, an important warning, an important thing that we must always do, what we are supposed to be doing now. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And verse 36, watch therefore, pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We are to also watch ourselves personally, spiritually. What is our spiritual condition like? As we know, in a month from now, less than a month from now, we have the Passover approaching, and we're supposed to always examine ourselves anyway. How are we doing at this point? What we are doing right now, we are looking for something far greater than this physical existence we are currently in. To be God is our ultimate potential. And for those of us who are properly baptized, we are begotten children of God, waiting to be born again, to be spirit beings, to be God, but only after when Christ returns. Until then, we keep doing what we need to be doing. We need to keep remaining vigilant, remaining diligent, keeping God's commandments, keep praying, and looking to God for help and for Him to direct our lives, using the understanding that He has given us and making sure that we do not lose our crown by overcoming until the end. And to close out, we need to do what it says in Revelation 21 and in verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.